And we'll get started with the next portion of our service here. You probably picked up on this already, but the format for our teaching time is going to be a little bit different today than normal. Obviously, we're in the month of July now, which means that we've not only started to enjoy all that summer has to offer, but from a calendar perspective, New Life Community Church is now in a new ministry year and a new budget year. And so I want to provide an update to you today on our church finances and some things that are happening now and in the near future that you can financially support. So I hope that will be beneficial to you. Also, as we talked about a couple of times already, today marks us being exactly 1 month away from Summerfest. So 1 month literally from today. And as you know, that is an all-hands-on-deck affair. Like, we really need everybody to participate not only in enjoying Summerfest, but also in volunteering for Summerfest so that we can present to the community the day that we want to all enjoy together. So we'll talk about Summerfest today and how you can be a part of that special event. But I also want to continue with our study from the Gospel of John. And wouldn't you know it, Jesus fortunately has something to say to us that will pull our finances and Summerfest together into a nice cohesive package. So our primary point this morning is this: following God is simple. Following God is simple. There are probably a number of things that I could say next, words that we could fill in the blank that we might say are the most important things to God. And even as pastors, we talk about this from time to time, that when we begin to make statements like, you know, this is the absolute most important thing to God, it's pretty easy for your mind to start going and think, well, maybe, but this thing over here is kind of important to God too. And well, this thing's kind of important to God. And so when we say that there is one thing that's most important, maybe we have to be careful about that. But I am confident in saying that what we're going to talk about today are two characteristics of our life that I absolutely know are important to God. And that is, again, our primary point, that following God is simple. We simply obey God and we love each other. We just obey God and we love each other. Now, I said it was simple. Note that I did not say that obeying God and loving each other is always easy. I learned a long time ago from my personal experience that something can be relatively simple, right? We understand it. We get it. We grasp it. We see somebody else do it and we say, well, that doesn't look like any big deal. But then when it comes down to actually doing it ourselves, the simple does not necessarily mean the easy. Have you ever been there where you knew intellectually that something was really simple to accomplish, but then all of a sudden you realize, wow, it's not easy? I'll give you maybe an example that would be familiar to some of us. You get up in the morning, you start your day. You got just two or three things that you want to accomplish in the next 16 hours. It sounds really simple. But then your day gets going, and this happens, and this happens, and an unexpected thing pops into your life, and you're not feeling great, and your half-hour power nap in the afternoon turns into a six-hour all-you-can-eat-in-bed affair, right? Like, you just sleep the whole afternoon and evening away. And pretty soon, what seemed simple, I just had these two or three things to do, now is no longer easy. We didn't get it done. So simple does not always mean easy. And sometimes we struggle to do what we want to do, even when we know it's the right thing to do. And I think that's particularly true sometimes with our relationship with God the Father, that we know what we want to do. We know what the right thing is to do, but it's not always easy for us to accomplish. The Apostle Paul talks about this in the book of Romans, that these minds and these bodies are weak. We're so weak. And often we do things that we don't want to do, and we fail to do the things that are in our planning, things that we want to do. And when that happens, when we recognize that our mind and our body is weak and they're not working together the way that we want them to obey God and to love each other, then we can let ourselves down. We can feel bad about that. And when we let ourselves down, sometimes we feel like we let God down too. It's not always easy. But I want to remind us and encourage us this morning, my friends, that pleasing God really is extremely simple. Just obey him and love each other. And know as we're looking at the word of God today that we're not doing this in our own power. God doesn't leave us to just figure it out. But God gives us the power, the strength, the courage, the conviction. God gives us every ingredient that we need to obey these two commands, to love him by obedience and by loving each other. So let's take a look at the word and what God has to say to us today. We're just going to start in John chapter 14, verse 15. It's a very simple statement from Jesus. Jesus says, if you love me, obey my commandments. Note that Jesus does not say, if you love me, worship me. Jesus says, if you love me, obey my commandments. If we look at all of Scripture together, what we see is that to worship Christ is to obey Christ. So Jesus simply says that if you love me, you will obey my commandments. What word do you think Jesus uses there for love? You all know what it is. It's that Greek word that we talk a lot about. It's the word agape. Jesus says, you will agape me if you obey me. You will unconditionally love me if you obey me. Now, the verb form is specifically what is used in this particular verse. So that's the word agapeo. And Jesus says that when we put our love into action, that will look like obedience. The action will be obedience to what he commands us to do. Now, the Greek word that is used in the New Testament here for the word obedience is translated in several other forms as well. So one way that that word is translated is with the phrase keeping watch. And another way it's translated is with the singular word guarding. And so as you think about what it might mean to love Christ through obedience, it's helpful to think about the translation of those words all together. Obedience is not reluctant. Obedience isn't something that we have to do because Jesus has commanded it. Obedience is something that we get to do. Because, as Jesus communicates here, when we are obeying, we're not just going through the motions, but we're actually keeping watch over those things that are important to Jesus. We are guarding the things that are important to Jesus. As Jesus tells us what it looks like to obey him, again, we're not simply going through the motions as a have to, but we're guarding and protecting Christ's will for our life. We're keeping that in our heart. And in that regard, when we love him, we obey him in the way that he desires. We're to be diligent in our obedience to Christ. And as we obey him, Jesus says, we love him. Jesus repeats this phrase almost verbatim just six verses later in John. In John 14, 21, Jesus says, those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them. This is a theme of the Gospel of John that we see repeated over and over again. John uniquely expresses in this book that Jesus does absolutely nothing without the Father's guidance and power and approval. And so Jesus says even here that those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me, and because they love me, the Father will love them. Jesus says when you obey me, you're obeying my dad. And in doing so, in this triangle of obedience, Christ allows us to not only follow him, but to also be within the will of our Father, the Heavenly Father, God the Father. To truly obey is to watch and keep commands, watch over and guard those commands. And they're not only the commands of Christ the Son, but of God the Father. I find it helpful to remember that Jesus never spoke out of line. Jesus never winged it. Jesus was always about obeying his dad and doing the will of the Father. We see that throughout his life. In future weeks of this series, we'll explore this theme even more deeply. But for now, just note that our obedience to Christ is a benchmark of how we love him. The more you love Jesus, the more you'll obey him. It's really just that simple. And not only that, but when we obey Jesus, God the Father loves us. He's pleased with us. In the very next chapter of John chapter 15, Jesus takes another run at emphasizing the same principle. In verse 10, Jesus says, "When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love." Jesus could not make it more simple. Obedience draws us closer to him. Obedience even drew Jesus closer to his own Father. Now, before we move on from the commandment of obedience, it's important to take our boxing gloves and put them down for just a minute, okay? You know the boxing gloves I'm talking about, the ones that you put on and you beat yourself up with because you know in your mind and you know in your heart, "Pastor, I know I'm supposed to obey Jesus. This is a sermon I really don't need because I know that. I know I need to obey." And so when we're reminded of this through the Word of God, maybe it can tempt you to start feeling bad about yourself, putting the boxing gloves on. If you've got those gloves, just put them down. The point of what we're talking about today is not, let me repeat, is not for you to feel guilty. Rather, it's to encourage you. Again, your Father knows your weaknesses. Jesus died for you. He understands your weaknesses. And when we love and when we obey God, the opposite of that is not hell for us. The opposite of that is not shame for us. We simply focus on what is good about our obedience, and that is that God loves that, and that we are closer to our Father, and we are closer to the Son when we obey them. So, of course, we're not perfect. And as we said earlier, something that is simple is not necessarily easy. And so let's just acknowledge that. Our Father is merciful. He's full of grace towards us. Yes? Yes. So the Apostle Paul even reminds us of that in Romans 6. You'll remember there that Paul talks about this very issue of sin in our life and the relationship between sin and grace. Paul raises the hypothetical question, well, if God's grace is going to abound, should I just sin all the more so I get more grace? And Paul answers his own rhetorical question and simply says, no. No, that's not what this is about. May it never be, Paul says, that we just increase in sin so we can increase in grace. Paul reminds us, just as Jesus has reminded us, that we are called to a life of obedience. And if we fail to be obedient in this moment or that, there is grace, Christian. There is grace for you. Now, we can talk about obedience and different aspects of obedience, but let's get real specific with one of our topics for today. One measure of our obedience is certainly our generosity in giving. The Apostle Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, "Timothy, teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud or to trust in their money, which is unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all that we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, and always be ready to share with others." This is a key verse for us this morning because it notes that our obedience to God can also be tied to our love for each other. Obedience to God and love for each other are not mutually exclusive, but rather they're tied together. And both of these, obedience and love, can be expressed through our giving. It's one of the reasons why at New Life Community Church, one of our core purposes is that we are a place to give, because we recognize that in our giving, we can both be obedient and we can love one another. Paul reminds us that it is God who is rich with us, giving us everything that we need for our enjoyment. And then Paul says, since we're so rich, use it. Use it for good things. I want to highlight the phrase here that Paul uses to Timothy, the phrase generous to those in need. The Greek word at the heart of this phrase is the word koinonikos. That might sound familiar to you. You've probably heard the phrase in the Greek koinonia in the past. That word describes what true Christian love and fellowship looks like. Koinonikos is simply that same word in verb form. It is the action of what it means to love each other. And it's a good description for Christian friendship in action. We see here that an aspect of true Christian fellowship, to be in koinonia with each other, is being ready and willing to be generous with those who are in need. And this starts in this room. It starts in this room with our brothers and sisters in Christ. So one way that we promote this idea of koinonikos here at New Life Community Church is through our Acts 4 Fund. And as you've heard last Sunday and today, we've been collecting money, and today is the last day that we will publicly announce this. Just want to give you a little bit of background about where the Acts 4 Fund comes from. We started this back in February of 2020. Anybody remember what's going on in February of 2020? Not much. Sometime in the next month, in March, was the last church service that we had here in the building together for a little bit of time. So that was just on the verge of when everybody was hearing about this thing called COVID. And so that's when our first Acts 4 fund distribution began. It was around February of 2020. Now, during that time, we distributed thousands of dollars for COVID relief. Many in our church here were without work or without as regular work as they had been before COVID disrupted everything around us. Now, since that time, since February 2020, it might surprise you to know that we have distributed more than $90,000. $90,000 out of the Acts 4 Fund. We've used that money to tow cars and to tow campers, to pay rent and mortgages, to buy furniture for aging members. We've bought teeth and air conditioners and tires and plane tickets and hearing aids. We've helped repair many cars, bought many tanks of gas, and paid many medical bills. And just last month, I don't think that we maybe formally updated you on this yet. Just last month, we sent more than $7,700 to Ed Gund to help with the tornado situation that he had tear through his property. So more than $90,000 distributed out of the Acts 4 Fund just in 5 years. It's amazing. And so we're asking you today to replenish those funds as a way of obeying God and loving each other. Since we've already taken up our offering, the best way for you to do that, if you want to write a check or use cash to contribute to the Acts 4 Fund, is just to drop that in an envelope, which you can find in the seat backs in front of you or out in the foyer. And over here in this hallway next to where the office is at, there's just a little slit that's in the wall, and you can drop that in there, and we'll make sure that that gets added into the Acts 4 Fund. So please take care of that today if you are inclined to demonstrate your obedience to God and your love for each other specifically through the Acts 4 Fund. Now, of course, Jesus has much more to say about what it looks like to love each other. In John 13:34, we read, "So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world, it will prove to the world that you are my disciples." Just as I have loved you, Jesus says. That's a really high benchmark. You remember what Jesus did for these men. He called them out of all kinds of occupations, all kinds of situations, and he gave them a new life, new spiritual life, new occupational life, new physical life. Jesus, for about a three-year period of time, put up with the antics of these fellas who we often look at through Scripture and think, wow, why didn't they understand Jesus more accurately than they did? They seem kind of, frankly, they seem kind of dense. Well, we can cut the disciples some slack. They didn't have the Holy Spirit living inside of them. And Jesus often said as he talked to his disciples, "You may not understand this today. You will understand later. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about at some point in the future." But Jesus says to his disciples that just as I have loved you, love me. And it is that measure of love that will communicate to the world, will prove to the world that you are my disciples. So how are we to love each other? To the same extent that Jesus loved these men. Jesus repeats this again in John 15:12, just a couple chapters later, when he says, "This is my commandment, love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends." And then note what Jesus says, "You are my friends if you do what I command." So you see, obeying God and loving each other are not mutually exclusive ideas. When we love each other, we are, in fact, obedient to God. When we're generous with each other, we are obedient to God. When we lay down our lives for each other, we are obedient to God. And this is why our primary point today is that following God is simply obeying him and loving each other. We talked about how we can practice obedience and love through the Acts 4 campaign, and I want to ask you again to consider participating in that today. Of course, the Acts 4 campaign is called what it is because of what is recorded in Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 34, where Luke writes that all the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own. So they shared everything they had. There were no needy people among them, because those that owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles and to give to those in need. We're not even asking you to sell your houses and your land today, my friends. Okay? Just consider how you can bless those who are among us who from time to time have financial needs that go beyond what is normal. Now, we also practice obedience and love with our regular giving. And as advertised, I want to walk you through a few highlights of what the church finances look like today. So last year, from July 1st of 2024 through June 30th of 2025, we received about $760,000 in total giving. And we spent about $665,000 of that. So there's a little gap, and we'll talk about that gap in a minute. Okay? So $760,000 of total giving. That's the regular giving, plus our missions campaign that we have in November, plus the Acts 4 Fund campaign that we have going on right now. That is amazing. We're a church of about 250 people. So can I just say on behalf of all the pastors, thank you. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for already being an example of what it looks like to obey God and to love each other. Because that's what your giving reflects, that you do want to be obedient and you do understand how to love one another. So where does all that money go? Well, just to remind us, we're fortunate to be able to support three of our pastors full-time, 100%. We're able to support two counselors in Matt and Priyanka nearly full-time. We're able to support an administrative assistant full-time. And we're able to pay to have some building cleaning and maintenance done on a weekly basis. So, of course, the people that we're talking about here are Ben Gross, Ben Hunt, Kurt and Brenda Juergensmeyer, Matt Huther, Priyanka, Katie Huther, and for those that are married, their spouses. Could I just ask all of you that are on the payroll here, would you stand up and just allow us to say thank you? And your spouses, Brenda, Jessica, Amy, thank you. Jenna, thank you. Uh-oh. Oh, I gotcha. Kurt, it's already covered in the outline. It's telling me what I'm supposed to tell you. Here it is, Kurt. We also support more than 30 missionaries and ministries in 5 countries. 30 missionaries full-time. Now, you might be thinking, 5 countries, I can only think of about 2. Well, let me remind us. Nepal and India might be the most obvious ones. That's where those 30 missionaries are. But we also have the missions work that we support in Costa Rica. We also support Micah Foreman, who might be anywhere on the face of the earth on any given Sunday. And we have a sister church in Monterrey, Mexico that we continue to financially support, and we've been supporting them for many years. So 5 different countries, more than 30 full-time missionaries are all supported with your generosity. So thank you for that as well. We good? Yeah. So when we add up all of those people and all of those places that we support, that accounts for about $470,000 of our budget. And that's a good thing. So the rest of that, the rest of the expenses that we have, of course, pay for the building and support all the other more local ministries that we have going on right here in Marion. So you analytical people, if you were listening carefully, you might have noticed that I said we had about $95,000 of giving that we didn't actually spend last year. So as you know, it was the pastor's intention to be fiscally conservative this past budget year as we waited to see if the first definitive steps of the end times might begin. And obviously they did not, and so as we look forward to the new budget year, we want to continue to watch and to be prepared for the end times, just as Jesus instructed us to do. But we also feel the freedom to loosen the purse strings just a bit for the next year. And so our intentions are to spend that $95,000 that was our surplus from last year. And here's what we're going to do with that. One thing that's very exciting is that our intention is to transition Matt Huther into full-time ministry supported by the church. As you know, Matt spends the majority of his time working here at New Life, but also has a business here in the community, Atlas, that he spun up several years ago. Matt's going to continue to do some work through Atlas to keep that business open and receiving patients in the community. But our intention is to transition Matt so that all of his necessary full-time income is paid by New Life Community Church. And that's awesome that we're able to do that. As I mentioned last week, here in this room, our intention is to purchase some new chairs and get rid of all of these chairs in here. So if you love the one you sit in, you might have an opportunity to take that home with you some Sunday. We're also going to upgrade some equipment in here. So we're going to install some new sound speakers. We're going to do some work back there in the booth to help our worship time sound even more pleasing to you. It already sounds pleasing to God, but maybe it doesn't sound so pleasing to us all the time. So we're going to try to help out with that. We're also going to do some additional missions work in Nepal beyond what our annual missions campaign allows us to do. So we're going to spend an additional $30,000 or so in Nepal because the church there is just booming, and we want to support that the best way that we can. And we've got many, many what I'll call one-off expenses that won't become part of the recurring budget, but $1,000 here, $3,000 there that we're going to be able to say yes to in this budget year because of that surplus. So again, just want to thank you for your generosity and the ways that we will be able to serve Christ with each other in some practical ways, perhaps more effectively because of the financial health that we have as a church. So, what more can we do to practice obedience and love? Well, yesterday, if you were in your email, you received an email from Pastor Ben Hunt that he wrote on behalf of all the pastors that introduced you to two really big ideas, a gymnasium building addition and a homeschool hybrid. As Ben's email said, we may do one, we may do the other, we may do both, we may do neither one. We don't know yet. What we do know is that both of those projects will require a tremendous amount of support from you for us to be able to move forward. And some of that support, of course, will be financial support. A gymnasium in particular has a pretty hefty price tag that's associated with it. So we're going to do our homework, and we want the whole church family to be involved in the homework, in the discussion. And so we'll be talking about both of those ideas, the gymnasium and the homeschool hybrid, next weekend at the family retreat. So another reason to make sure that you get up to Cedar Falls and join us. For today, I just want to frame that these kinds of really big projects and our church finances support our primary point. And that is that following God is simply about obeying Him and loving each other. I hope that you'll see as we continue to talk about both of those ideas that they will be a demonstration of obeying God in ministry and showing love to each other and how we can encourage one another in those ministries. So before we talk about Summerfest, let's look at John 13, verse 34 one more time. Jesus says, "So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." It is no small thing that we are able to support the staff and ministries that we do through your financial giving. This is an example not only of your generosity, but how much you really do love each other. You love these people that serve our church and that earn compensation for that. You love our missionary friends and what they're doing to spread the gospel. And God is very pleased with all of that. But this verse, John 13, 34, reminds us of a very important truth. And it's the reason that we do Summerfest. It's the biggest reason that we do Summerfest. Your love for each other is on full display on August 3rd of 2025. Full display. So, we're going to get you hyped a little bit for Summerfest. We've got a video that Ray DeMasso has put together for us. Let's go ahead and take a look at that.
We'll remember the derecho storm that came through in August of 2020. Summerfest started a year later in August of 2021 as a way of celebrating our recovery as a community and New Life Community Church wanting to put on an event that people in the community could come and enjoy.
August 3rd, and it's going to run all afternoon from 12 o'clock to 7 o'clock.
It's an opportunity to come together and enjoy an afternoon of sunshine and lots of activities.
And anybody is invited to come, no matter your age or where you're at in life. But there are definitely a lot of events for families, and probably primarily young families. So if you have elementary age kids, there are bouncy houses. There's going to be a puppet show this year. We've got a bubble palooza.
We'll have our rock climbing wall and also our tubs of fun.
We're introducing something new, which I'm really excited about. There's going to be a train running. So if you have a young family, you are definitely invited and encouraged to attend.
A couple of things that will be paid activities through the day. Inside the church building, there'll be bingo. And so families can purchase bingo cards with an opportunity to win some cash prizes. Also later in the day, around the dinner hour, we'll have a couple of food trucks here. So people will be able to purchase dinner as they're continuing to enjoy the afternoon and getting ready for some of that evening live music.
We will be raising funds based on free will donations as well as the silent auction. And there's a bake sale as well. The funds will be used for Marian Cares, which provides help to a lot of children in need and families in need in the local area.
Summerfest is absolutely one of my favorite Sundays of the entire year. I love that we have an opportunity as a church to be able to come together. Whole day is centered around serving our community and being Jesus to people who are unchurched. And we do a really phenomenal job at it.
If you're on the fence about coming to Summerfest, I just do it. It's free to come. You can leave whenever, you can come whenever, and you'll definitely have a good time. The kids always have a good time.
I like bounce houses.
No kid has left without a smile on their face.
Yes.
Not to pick on my brother Justin, but that is a bold-faced lie. I've seen kids leaving crying, Justin. For sure. Well, here's a few more facts about Summerfest. We would estimate that we've had more than 1,500 people from the community that have attended Summerfest over the course of the last 4 years. Now, that doesn't even include those of us that are in this room. About 1,500 people that probably would never come to New Life Community Church for anything else have been here for Summerfest. We've also been able to give away more than $6,000 to some of our local nonprofit organizations like Marian Cares that take care of our families and our children in the community. And of course, we've had some fun. There's been some fun that's been had at Summerfest. So as Jenny mentioned in that video, you do a tremendous job of serving together. And we do work very hard to put on a great day. You know, it's always been in August, so it's really hot. Sometimes it's been threatening rain, and we've got these 500 strangers that are walking around our property. So we have every reason to be a little short with each other, a little on edge. And yet, here's what I know. I know that you will obey John chapter 13, verse 34. I know that you will love each other, and when you do so, that is what will communicate to those around us that are visiting our property that this place is different, that Christians are different. The world, if it is watching, will see that you are different because of the way that you are loving each other and serving together. And of course, God will be tremendously honored in that as well. So for Summerfest to be all that we want it to be, obviously we need your help. As was mentioned earlier, there are signups for the first time today that are out in the foyer. So as you leave in between the service and Pot Grace, or hopefully you're sticking around to join us for lunch, you can sign up on the way out later today. Jenny Renning, who you saw in the video, is Jenny in the room here? Jenny, can you stand up? This is Jenny back here if you've never met Mrs. Renning. Yeah. Give it up for Jenny. So Jenny is managing that part of Summerfest, the sign-up of volunteers. So let's make her job as easy as possible and get signed up early and often, both today and then next weekend as we take those sign-up sheets up to Cedar Falls. If you want to think about it a little bit, how you can serve, how your family can serve together, you could sign up next week as well. So let's get that taken care of so Jenny doesn't freak out and hunt you down, okay? All right, let's conclude here. So we've talked about following God is simply obeying him and loving each other. And starting today, we have the opportunity to do both of those things, to be obedient to our Father and to love each other by participating in the Acts 4 campaign, by continuing to give generously towards the monthly church budget, by listening and asking questions about those two big projects that we're introducing you to, and by participating in Summerfest coming up here on August 3rd. You are a tremendous family of God. I hope you know that. We are proud of you. Your pastors are proud of you. But even more importantly, God is proud of you. And this is all a glory to him. And so when we don't do all that we want to do, know that God is still pleased. And yet we have room to grow. And some of these opportunities will be ways that you and I can grow here in the next month as we obey God and we love each other. Let's go ahead and take a couple minutes to talk with the person next to you about what was helpful to you in the message. And then we're going to close the service singing these words, Amen, Amen, from beginning to end. Christ the glory, Christ the story, his the glory. Alleluia, Amen. Let's go ahead and discuss, and then we'll close with music.